Today's Shir Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Bei Zaman Aleph, as we begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Anu Masechta. The Gemara, Masechta Tainis, Daf Chavtal Arman Aleph, teaches us that Rava decreed a Tainis, a feast day, and Idam Takarash Baruch Hu, that it should rain, and it didn't rain. So his Talmidim asked him, why, when Rabbi Yehuda decreed a fast day, immediately did it rain? And when you decree a fast day, it didn't happen. So Rabbi responded to them, I don't know what made Rabbi Yehuda's generation greater than our time. We are in the time of Rabbi Yehuda, he says, they only learned Seder Nezikim primarily. And we have Talmidim who learn all of Shas. So the Sefer Tiferes HaGeshuni asks, what was special about the time of Yehuda that everybody was learning Seder Nezikim, and because they were learning Seder Nezikim, Rava was convinced that they were worthy that rain should come when they asked for it. So he explains that by learning Masechta Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, one who learns those three Masechtas becomes worthy to all types of brachas. He says that through learning Masechta Bava Kama, every aveira that you did, even if you did it b'pshia, with negligence, it only becomes amazed. So learning Masechta Bava Metzia, the aveiras that are committed b'mezed become shagig. And by learning Masechta Bava Basra, the aveiras that are shagig become zchuyas, become mitzvahs. And therefore, he said, they learned Seder Nezikim, they learned these three Masechtas, that's why they were worthy that their tefillah should be answered. The Chavetz Chaim says, the Gemara Masechta Megillah, and the Masechta Megillah, we say this every day, Kol Hashana Lachas, B'chol Yoyim, Muchtav Loi, Shuben Oilem Haba. A person has to know how to live. And the way he lives is by learning Halacha. It says, the Chavetz Chaim, people believe that it's adequate to learn Aruch Chaim Yerideya. But people have to learn Chai Shem Mishpat. Because if somebody learns Chai Shem Mishpat, then he will, of course, never end up with someone else's money, never end up with taking something that doesn't belong to him. And that's what Yisrael Salanta would used to say, that every day one should learn some Chai Shem Mishpat. And by learning our Masechtas, by learning Chai Shem Mishpat, we become worthy, says the Chavetz Chaim, says the Yisrael Salanter, that we don't have anything that doesn't belong to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps that what we deserve, we will get. So we get the Masechta, Shnei Marks Betalad, two people are holding on to a garment. Zama Nimitzasiya, one person says, I found this garment, Zama Nimitzasiya, and the other person says, I was the one that found this garment, Zama Kulishali, and therefore the first person says, since I was the one that found the garment first, the entire garment belongs to me. Zama Animatusia, he says, I found this entire garment and it's all mine first, because we learn now the halacha that if something is lost and you pick it up and there are no simonim, it becomes yours. Zama Kula Shali, and the other one says it's completely mine. The first person should swear that he owns at least 50% of this garment. And the other person should swear the same way, that he owns at least 50% of the garment. And then they divide this garment, and then they divide the garment amongst the two of them. The Mefarshim explain that our Masechta begins with the case that we just learned of Shnei Marks and Metalis. Why does it begin with this? So the Sefer Tolos Yaakov answers that the Masechta here is referring to the way we look at self. The way we look at self is that a person says, the person is supposed to be Kulish Ali. A person is supposed to really try to get to the Madrega, to the level that is Kulal Hashem. But if a person can't reach that level, at least Yeshava, at least he should swear the Chetz Yeshali, at least he should swear that he's a Beinoni. So why does the Mishnah begin with speaking about a talus? The Rambam, in fact, says that even though the Mishnah speaks about speaking about a talus, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a talus, means anything. So why did the Mishnah choose the case of a talus? So the Sefer Torah Chaim explains that because, as the Gemara is going to speak about, when you're holding on to a talus, each one is holding on to the edge of the talus. And that's why that the Mishnah speaks about how they're both holding on to the talus. Another explanation that I saw is, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, a talus divided, a talus split in half, really doesn't have much value. And since a talus divided in half doesn't have much value, we don't actually physically tear the talus into two. That would not be very productive. We force one of them to buy it or to sell it, and then we divide the money. That's why the Mishnah spoke about a case of a talus to teach us that halacha. I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed has a very interesting discussion. He has a discussion here where the number of people who want to have this chus, that they should have the ability to drive or escort a Talmud Chacham. And what happens if there's a dispute between two people who did the tzaddik agree to go with? What should they do? So B'Yoshev's opinion was that they should look at who is the person who has driven this person previously. Because the Gemara says, La'olam al-yishana Adam, a person should not change achsanya shaloi. And this is part of not changing the achsanya, by going with the person that you always drive with. Other Paiskim, Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, seem to suggest that we should do a shuda d'daini, that we should make a decision, we should make a determination who probably was the person that this Talmud Chacham wanted to go with. So Taisus asks, here our Mishnah taught us that we have this Shnayim Oichs Metalis, both of them make a Shvur and Yechloiku. Yet in the Gemara, in Masechta Baba Basra, when we have a similar situation, the halacha is called Olam Gvar. Whoever is stronger prevails. So how do we understand when is the halacha called Olam Gvar and when is the halacha that we do a Shvur and Yechloiku? So the Tosfos HaRosh and Rabbeinu Tam say that our Mishnah, as we just learned, is specifically speaking about a case of Oichsin. They're holding on to the talus. So since they're both holding on to the talus, that's when the halacha is that Yechloiku. Kol Da'on Gvar is speaking about when they're not actually holding on to the talus. Another explanation is that when there is certainly somebody who doesn't deserve, this is going to be a concept that the Gemara is going to speak about in our sugyas quite often. When you have two people holding on to talus, as our Mishnah began, and each one claims, Anima Tzosia, I'm the one that found it first, it's quite possible that they're both saying the truth. And that's why the halacha is that we divide it. But in a case where there's certainly one person who deserves it and one person who doesn't deserve it, that's where the halacha says that we go with Kol Olam Devar. The Achrayim and Rishayim have a very fundamental question in understanding what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah said that Shnayim Oichs Metalis, we both have this talus, we don't know what to do, so they both make a Shvua, and then Yechloiku. So now the question that needs to be understood is, how do we understand this halacha? Is this because we don't know what to do? So this is what we should do. We should divide it and then with the Shvua and Yechloiku. Or is that this is the halacha? The halacha is that in such a situation where you have Shnayim Oichs Metalis, that the halacha is that they do Yechloiku. The Rashba says that the Rashba seems to say that it's a din, that the halacha is that in such circumstances, the halacha is yachloiku. Taisus Arid seems to learn that yachloiku is not a halacha. Yachloiku is just because we don't know what to do. So since we don't know what to do, the halacha tells us to do this. It really is much more connected, says Rabbi Chanan, to how do we look at this situation? Do we look at this situation as if they are really have, each one has a full-fledged chazaka on the object that they're holding? Or does the halacha not really view as if they have a full-fledged chazaka, as if they have a full-fledged chazaka to what they're holding? Says the Mishnah, another case. Zayim Akula Shali, one person says, the entire talis belongs to me. The Zayimer, and the other person says, Chetshi Shali, only 50% of the talis is mine. So says the Mishnah, I'm a Kulishali, the person who says that the entire talis belongs to him, Yishava Shemeka Shvua, Shein Le Pachs Mishlesha Chalakim, that he owns at least 75% of this talis. I'm a Chetshi Shali, and the person who says that half the talis belongs to me, Yishava has to make, decide that should say Shein Le Pachs Mervi, that he has at least 25%. And then, after these two people make each disrespect the shvua, then the first person will take 75% of the talis, and the other person will take 25% of the talis. So Taisus, the Rishaitim ask, why in a case that when the person says kula shali, does he have to say where that he has at least 75%? On 50% of this talus, there's no dispute. The second person is only saying that he has 50%. So why does the first person have to swear that he owns 75%? 50% is not on the table. So the Rosh says that, correct. Really, the person who's saying that he has the whole talus and the other person that says that he has only 50% of the talus should not have to swear on more than 25% of the talis. But, says the Rosh, why did our Mishnah say that he has to swear that he has 75% of the talis? Because if he's only going to swear that he has 25% of the talis, we have to be concerned that he's getting away with a shvua. He doesn't really own 75%, but he says that and if he only swears on 25%, he will feel comfortable in lying that he has 75%. The only way we could be comfortable in accepting what he says and not be concerned that he's trying to lie is and trying to avoid a shvua, that the halach is that he swears that he has 75%. By saying that he has 75%, that's why we know that his shvua will be an honest shvua. Taisus also asks a question, why if the person who says that 50% be his, so only gets 25%? Why, and Taisus introduces here a very important question. This person is being a very honest person. He's saying that I only own 50%. So the question is, why should he not be believed with a migui? Because if he wanted to, he could have said, as we began the Masechta, he could have said that he owns 100%, and then he would get 50%. So why, and we know that a migui always means that since you could have had a better claim, so that means that halacha views your claim as honest because you didn't say the better claim. So the Taisus quotes the Rivam that says we don't say migui kedei lahaitzi mamon, that we're arguing over 50%, and on that 50%, each one is holding on to that 50%. So as Rabbi Chanan said a moment ago, we don't say that we take away from a person what he's holding on to through a migui. That's the Rivam's teretz. Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim say that we don't say a migui. We don't say, we don't rely on a migui that he could say from this money and other money. The argument is here over this 50%. As I said a moment ago, they're not arguing over the other 50%.
since they're not arguing over the other 50%, we don't explain, we don't use a migui mimomen lemomen. We don't take a migui from one money to another money and use that to relieve him. Continues the Mishnah. Hashnaim rechmal gabe behema, two people were riding on an animal. A shehechad roichiv, one is riding on that animal, vechad manig, and one is leading that animal. Zayim akushali, this person says that the entire animal is mine. Vezayim akushali, and the other person says the entire animal is mine. Zayi shav she'elim by elapox mechetzer, this one should swear that he owns at least 50% of the animal. And Zayi shav she'elim pox mechetzer, and the other person should swear that he has at least 50% of the animal. Vechloiku, and like that, they divide the animal. Bizman says the Mishnah, however, in a case where the two people holding on to the talus, or the case of the animal that we just learned, Maidim are agreeable to each other, and they agree that they picked up the talus at the same time, or Sheishlam Edim, or there are Edim that they picked it up at the exact same time. So says the Mishnah, Vir Aloch is Cholkim B'loi Shvuah, they divide it, and no Shvuah is necessary. The Paiskim discuss a question where there were two shatchanim who are arguing who was the match shatchan for this shidduch. One says it was my idea, and the other one says that he was the one that was the shatchan. And they admit that one of these two individuals was the one that implemented, that went through all the way with the shidduch. So some paiskim say the shatchan who carried out the shidduch all the way is certain the shatchan. The other one is a question, and therefore ain't sofik mitzvadei vaday, and the halacha will be that the person who was the one that actually made the shidduch happen is going to be the one that will get the shatchanus. But the Shas Tshuvas Halichas Yisrael says, why is this not different from the case that we just learned? Rishnaim Eichs Metalis, one says kula shali, that means the shatchan who made the shidduch happen says, I am the entire shatchan here. And the other one says, chetzi shali. And why don't we trust him? So he says that in this case, since the second person is not agree, the other person is not agreeable to the first taina, that we can't in such a case say that we accept both, that this is a sofk mitzvah devadai. Because only in the case that we just learned in the Mishnah, where both people agree to each other completely, can we say that we follow what they agree to each other. But in a case we don't agree to each other, then we don't just accept the stronger taina. The Sefer Or Pnei Moshe explains the Mishnah al Pidrush. Shnayim, there are two people. Every one of us have two forces that want to prevail over us, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and each one of them is trying to accomplish that kula shali, that the person should become completely taken, influenced either by Yetzer Tov or Yetzer Hara. So he says yachloiku. What a person should do, as the Gemara Masechta Bracha says, la'olam yagres adam Yetzer Tov al Yetzer Hara. What a person should do is get the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara to not get along. And while the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara are battling and they're not able to live together, that's Yachloiku. Get them to disagree and you'll be able to live your life without them having any power over you. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, particularly in our coming Shir, the halacha is that if somebody makes a claim against me, and I'm kofer hakol, I completely deny the claim. The halacha is that I don't even have to make a shvua. The halacha is hamotz mechaveroi olav haraya. And unless that person could prove his claim, I don't have to pay anything. On the other hand, the Torah does speak about two cases where a shvua is necessary. One is moed b'miksis, where I partially admit, or eid echad. Somebody could only produces one aid for his claim. The halacha is he can't make me pay based on an echad, but the halacha is I do swear. Tosfos says that if somebody is able to produce an aid hamasayaya, an aid who testifies on his behalf that he doesn't owe anything, then the halacha is he doesn't have to swear. So our Mishnah just taught us that if two people are holding on shnayim oichsim b'talis, and each one is holding on to the talis, the halacha is that they're make a shvua via chloiku. But we just learned in the Mishnah that if there are edim that could say that they both found the talis, the garment, at the same time, then they divide the talis and there is no shvua. So the Mishnah used the words, as we just learned, im yesh edim, which means that there are at least two edim. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, why do we have to have two edim? As we just learned that the halacha is that as soon as you have an aid hamasayaya, an aid that supports your claim, that's enough to exempt you from swearing. So even if there's one aid, the halacha should be that that should be considered as if they each have an aid hamasayaya. And if each one of them has aid hamasayaya, there would not be a need to swear. Says Beis Halevi, in such a case, if there was only one aid, he cannot be considered an aid hamasayaya. He says an aid hamasayaya is only considered aid hamasayaya if he completely backs up one claim, my claim, to the exclusion of the other person's claim. But if he's not able to back up my claim to the exclusion of the other person's claim, which is the case that we are discussing here, he's backing up both of our claims. That is not considered, says the Beis Halevi, Eid HaMasayaya. Ask the Gemara. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us both that each one of them says, I found this talis, and each one of them says, this entire talis is mine? Ask the Gemara, Lisli Chada. It should be adequate for the Mishnah to teach us only one claim, either that each one says ani mitzaseya, or each one says kula shali. Why didn't the Mishnah have to say that they each saying two claims? Answers the Gemara. Chadik tani. There's only one claim. What each one is saying is ze oimer ani mitzaseya. I'm the one that found this talis, and since I am the one that found the talis, therefore kula shali belongs entirely to me. Vezayim ani mitzaseya. And the other one says, I'm the one that found the talis, and therefore, kula shali, it belongs completely to me. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way to understand the Mishnah, the listening, so all the Mishnah should have said, that each one says, ani mitzaseya, I'm the one that found the talis, v'ano yadana, then it's obvious, if he's saying, ani mitzaseya, the kula shali, that the talis belongs entirely to me. Answers the Gemara, itan ani mitzaseya, if all we had in the Mishnah was that each one was claiming ani mitzaseya, have a mina my mitzaseya, we would think that what is the definition of mitzaseya? Riyaseya, that's seeing it. And we would think that just seeing something, afagav de la yosi liyode, even though you didn't actually pick it up, beriya ba'alma, just seeing something, kani, is enough. Tana, therefore the Mishnah added the words kula shali. The Mishnah is coming to teach us a very important halacha. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that Riya Ba'am Riya Loikani. The Torah says by Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Kis Kola Oretz, Ashataroya, Lechot Neno Lazarechat Oilam. And then the Pasuk continues, V'yel Avram V'yova V'yeshiv Aloin in memory. So the Sefer Yovan Shmua explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Avram Avinu all of Eretz Yisrael. And he showed him all of Eretz Yisrael. But he was saying to him that seeing Eretz Yisrael is not enough. What you also have to do, as the Pasuk says, V'yoel Avram, V'yeshiv, that Avram did a Maisa Kinyan. Because without doing a Maisa Kinyan, just Riyah alone is inadequate. Ask the Gemara, how could you have thought that mitzaseya means reisia and seeing is enough? V'amar Ravina, the pasuk says, l'chol avedas achicha shetovim menu mitzasa, says the Gemara, Metzosa means Dasli Yade Mamish. Did you actually picked it up in? Answers the Gemara, yes. And when the Pasuk says the word Umetzosa, the Pasuk means that the Metzosa the Krat Dasli Yade Mamish, that you actually picked it up. Amiyu, Tana Delishta the Alma. But if our Tana would not have added the words Kulishali, he would have said, like in the world, normally, Ritzisa means Midachazale. Amana Anashka Chaisi. And therefore, we would think that since he saw this lost object, and he says, I found it first, Vavgav Delayasali Yade, even though I didn't actually pick it up, the Alacha should be Bereba Al Makani, just looking at it makes it mine. That's why Tana Kulishali, the Bereya Ba'alma, to teach us the Riya Ba'alma Loi Kanalei. Just Riya by itself is, Riya Ba'alma is not enough to make it yours. I saw that Reb Tzadik in a Sefer Resise Laila speaks about that Klal Yisrael by Yamsuf saw great things. The Pasuk says, the Medrash says, Rasa Shivcha Layom, Mashloi Roya Cheskel. What was seen at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf was incredible. But even though Klal Yisrael at that time saw incredible things by Kriyas Yamsuf, they did not have a lasting impression. Why? So he explains, because our Gemara just taught us, Riya Ba'alma, just seeing something, Loi Kani, is inadequate to make it yours. And because Riya Ba'alma is loikani, it's inadequate to make it yours, what had to happen was that they had to have a Matan Torah. And a Matan Torah wasn't just the Riya Ba'alma. By Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves the Torah. At a time when they were ready to accept upon themselves all of the Torah, that had a lasting impression. That had a lasting impression forever that we became Am Yisrael. Ask the Gemara. So we understand why Anima Tzasiyah would not be adequate for the Mishnah to say. But ask the Gemara the other way around. For listening, why can't we say that each one of these litigants claim Kulishali V'leiba Anima Tzasiyah? So if they said Kulishali, there would be no room for mistake. Answers the Gemara, Itana Kulishali, if all the Mishnah would have said was Kulishali, Havamina Ba'alma Diktanima Tzasiyah, that yes, here they said Kulishali. But in a case where they would say Mitzasiyah, maybe the halacha ought to be that Bereya Ba'al Makani, Riya is enough. Therefore, our Mishnah goes out of its way to say, Ani Mitzasiyah, V'hadatana Kula Shali, the Mishnah is Seir Hashminan, to teach us that in all areas of halacha, Riya is not enough to be kind of Riya Lekani. Ask the Gemara, V'matzis Armechadik Tani. So now we're learning, as we started this piece of Gemara, that it's all one claim. Ani Mitzasiyah V'Kula Shali do not represent two independent claims. It's just one claim. So ask the Gemara, is that the way to understand? Says the Gemara, V'Tani Zek Tani. The Mishnah, let's read the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Zeh Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh V'Kula Shali, Zeh V'Kula Shali. So it's not to be viewed as one statement, one phrase, Ani Mitzasiyah V'Kula Shali. But rather, it's to be understood as two separate claims. Omer answers the Gemara. Omer Apapa Vitema Rav Simi Bar Ashi V'Amri Leichdi Bereisha. The first case of the Mishnah is coming to teach us a case of Metzia when they found something. A Seif is coming to teach us B'Mekach U'Memker. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that both by Metzia and both by Mekach U'Memker we accept. As we said earlier, the Svara, as we said, we're going to mention the Svara often, that the way the Halacha views that since both of these people could be saying something which is true, that's why the Halacha is both, if it's a situation of a sale, as we will explain, and a situation of a Metzia, where it's possible that they're both saying what's true, we accept both claims and they make a Shul Yechleiku. Says the Gemara, V'tzricha. And the Mishnah had to teach us the halacha both in the case of a metzia and both in the case of a sale. Why? Ditan metzia have metzia the rabban shvu alei. By a metzia, that's where Chazal said a shvu is necessary. Mishum da mayri
people try to rationalize. And people, the person who really did not get the talus first will still say, it's my talus. Because he says to himself, it's not like this talus really belongs to the other person. He spent money for it. And I'm depriving him something that really belongs to him. And therefore, he says to himself, Ezel itfis is palgabal hadei. Let me also get a share of this talus. Avu mekachememker. If somebody legitimately bought something, and the other person is just going to say that the object or whatever the other person bought, I want a share of it. People don't do that. The leka lemeima hachi. People don't talk today. Ema. So in such a case where nobody's rationalizing, both people are saying a legitimate claim, maybe the loy, there would be no need for a shvua. V'tana mekach memkar. If we only had the case of mekach memkar, that's where we would suggest, says the Gemara, who the Rama Rabbana shvua lay. That's where Chazal required a shvua. Mishum demayri v'amra, chavroi demekayov, the other person paid for this, v'anod demekayov, and I also paid for it. That hashtad tzrich ledi, now that I need this garment, ashkalenei, and I want the talus. The chavrei lays a litrach Lisbon and let the other person go buy another talus. Ava mitzi de leka l'meimachi. A mitzi is not something that you need. A mitzi is not something that you bought. A mitzi, by definition, is something that you were lucky enough to find. Emeloi, we shouldn't make them swear. Tzricha. That's why the Mishnah had to mention that in both cases a shvua is required. But ask the Gemara. In the case where they're arguing by Mekach Memkar, ask the Gemara, why don't we just do the following? Where do we just see who paid for this? And we'll ask the merchant who paid, and we'll know that he is the person who owns it. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Nakam Tavayu, that the merchant received money from both of them. Mechad, one was the person who gave it to him because I was interested in selling to him. Mechad mi date, mechad al karche, and the other person just forced himself on me. V'lo yedana, but the merchant doesn't know or doesn't recall me who mi date, which was the person that paid for it and I was the one I wanted to sell, and me bal karche, and who was the one that forced his money on me. And since we don't know which one is the one that did it by force, I can't tell that the halacha is that we have to do yachloiku with a shvua. So the Rishonim ask, the Gemara in many places in Shas, we learned in the Masech Baba Kama, Daf Samach Beis, Taluya v'zovin zvina zvina, that if somebody forces you to sell something, the halacha is zvina zvina, that the sale is considered a valid sale. So why is the Gemara here differentiating which one he took from willingly and which one's Balkarcha? Even if he took Balkarcha, the halacha is that it should be acceptable. So the Hagos Mordechai answers that when is the halacha tluy v'zoven zvina zoven? Is that even though I didn't want to sell it to you, but I ultimately agreed when I said roitzani. So since I said roitzani, once I agreed to the sale, even though it was done under duress, it's considered a valid sale. But in a case where I never wanted the sale, I never said roitzani, then the sale won't be a sale. We don't say tluya zoven zvina zvina. The Mishnah Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph teaches us that if somebody hired workers and he has to pay them, so the way they very often did commerce, the way they often did commerce is that they would have the chenveni, the person who owned the general store, pay. And then the employer would pay the chenveni. What happened here was that the employer hired these workers and he asked the chenveni to pay him. And the workers say, we never got paid. And the chenveni says, I did pay. And they're both coming with a claim to this employer. The Chum's opinion is that the chenveni swears that he did pay him, and the workers swear that they didn't get what they were supposed to get, and then they both will get
they both get money from the balabais, from the employer. But Nanus disagrees. He says making them both swear is not halachically acceptable, because making them both swear means that one is, by definition, swearing falsely. And we can't create a situation where both, where somebody's going to swear falsely. So says the Gemara, now that we've learned the opinion of Ben Anas, so says the Gemara, Lema the Masnisa like Ben Anas, our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Ben Anas. The Ben Anas, if we're going to say, in the case of Ben Anas, Kate said, as Ben Anas said over there in the Mishnah, Masechta Shavuos, we don't want that they both should swear. Kate said, Eilu ve'eilu boilu de Shavuoshav, they're both going to be swearing falsely. And our Mishnah, we tell them both to swear, even though one is going to be maybe swearing falsely. Answers the Gemara, the two Mishnayos are not comparable. I feel to have Ben Anas. Even our Mishnah can be consistent with Ben Anas. Hasu vadi ikash shavuoshav. There, either the Chenveni or the employers are lying. Hocha ikalameim de lekash shavuoshav. Whereas the case of our Mishnah is not necessarily a shavuoshav. Because as we explained, there's always the possibility that they picked it up at the same time, and therefore it's not considered that they both are lying, and that's why Ben Anas's concern doesn't apply. So the Kotzka says the Mishnah, the Ben Anas used the words Eilav Eilav Bayon Deiv Shuvashov, they're both lying, the Chenveni and the workers. So he says that that's not true. One is lying, and one is saying the truth. But look at the wording of the Gemara, asked the Kotzka. The Gemara says, Eilu ve'eilu b'yon day shvuoshav. They're both saying something which is not true. That isn't the case. Answers the Kotzka, that if I don't swear falsely, but I create a situation that somebody else is swearing falsely, that's already considered Eilu ve'eilu b'yon day shvuoshav. That's already considered as if I did a shuashav by creating a situation of a shuashav. The Gemara refers back to something that we discussed often in Masechta Bava Kama. The Gemara over there, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav, Amud Aleph, discusses a case where a shor tam did negicha and a parah, and on the side of the parah there's found a dead fetus. Now the question is, when did this fetus die? Did it die before the tam did the hezek, or did it die after? Because if it died before, so the tam will only be responsible for what it did to the mother, not what it did to the baby. Or if it happened after, he's responsible for the baby as well. So the halach is, for the mother, as a tam is the halach, you pay chatzi nezek. And for the baby, since we're not sure, they pay Rev Nezek. Says the Gemara over there, Rabbi Huda quoting Shmuel says, this opinion that since we don't know exactly when was the baby injured, we pay only a quarter, represents the opinion of Sumchus. Sumchus throughout Shaz says that Mamon HaMutl B'Sofik, when we have a question, Cholkin. The opinion of the Chacham, however, throughout Shaz, is that HaMoitzi Mechavera Olav Araya. Unless you could definitively prove that I owe you the money, you can't claim the money. So says the Gemara, Lema Masnissen, at first glance it seems that our Mishnah is the Loika Sumchus, is not consistent with the opinion of Sumchus. Dika Sumchus, Hama Mama Mutabasakim, when we have a Shaila, Chalkim Belay Shfuah. Yet our Mishnah says that we need a Shfuah. Elamai, so why are you going to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbanon? But as we just said, Ha'amri, what is the opinion of the Rabbanon? Ha'moitz mechaveroi olav araya. And if that's the case, since neither party could prove their position completely, the halacha is that they would just leave it until Yemunach Achiyav Elio, it should be left until somebody could definitively prove that their position is right. Says the Gemara, Hai Mai, I don't understand what you're saying, says the Gemara. Yeah, Bishlam Rabbanon, Hossam, where is the halacha as the case of this cow, the tam that hit the pregnant cow? The Laitafsa Tavayu. Neither the Mazik is not holding, the there's no, both of them are not holding on to this animal. I'm Rabbanan, so that's why the Rabbanan said, I'm Mitzvah Chavreya of Raya. Whereas the case of our Mishnah is Hochdat Vayitasi. They're both holding on to the talus, as we began our shir, and they're both making a claim. Eli says the Gemara, Palgalei B'Shvua, and that's why Rabbanan agree that a Shvua, they make a Shvua and they divide it. Eli Amrit Sumchis, if we're going to want to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Sumchis, Hashta, in Sumchis' case, Ma Hosim Deloit Tafsa Tavayu, in Sumchis' opinion, where they're both not holding into it. Sumchis holds, Mamun Amutu B'Safik Chokin, and they divide below Shvua. Hocha, certainly in our Mishnah, the Tavayu Tafsib law, that they're both holding on to the talus, like Koshkein, certainly the opinion of Sumcha should be, is that the Yechlaiku. And the question would be, therefore, what does Sumchas in our Mishnah say that a Shvua is required? Answers the Gemara of Filotem of Sumchas. We can suggest that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Sumchas. The Chiyam of Sumchas, where does Sumchas make his, where does Sumchas hold that Mamun Hamutu B'Safik Yechlaiku? Is in a case of Shema V'Shema, where they're both not sure, but in a case of Bari V'Bari, our Mishnah, where they're both coming with a definitive claim, Loyama, that's not where Sumcha says a Shvua is not required. Ask the Gemara, Ulrava Barafunad Amas Sumchas, according to Rabbi Rafunad that says Sumchas holds, Afilu B'Bari V'Bari, even if they're both coming with definitive claims. That Lochi is, Yachlaiku, my Ikla Meimer, how are we going to understand? Answers the Gemara, Filo Tema Sumchas. We could still say Mishnah follows the opinion of Sumchas. The Chi Amas Sumchas, where did Sumchas say that Mamun Amutu B'Safik Cholkim, Heche Ikadror the Mamun, that somebody's going to lose money improperly? Maybe this, the owner of the baby deserves Chatzi Nezik. Maybe the Mazik doesn't have to pay anything. Aval Heche the Lekadror Mamun, where there's nobody going to lose anything. This is the way Rashi explains. Dror de Mayim means Hefsid Mamun. In our Mishnah, we're speaking about a case of a Metziah. And as we keep on saying, nobody can lose money by a Metziah because you never paid for it, you never bought it. It's something that you were lucky to find. There, Sumchas agrees that a Shvua is required. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains that the definition of Dror de Mamun is that there is a question without their claims. So in a case over there where they both, we don't know exactly what happened, that's where there is a drawer of the Mamayna. There's an independent suffix. Here, the suffix only exists because both of these people are coming with a claim. And that's why, without their claim, that we wouldn't have any suffix. And therefore, that's Sumchas. That's what Simchas differentiates where a Shvua is required or not. Ask the Gemara, we could say just the opposite. V'lak kavachayim ha'hosim, they could draw in ma'milamar. They could draw ma'milamar. Again, we're going to learn what Rashi's pshat. That each one has something to lose. Ikla me'mer kulamar. And therefore, the aloch is, maybe the mazik is entitled. V'ikla me'mer kulamar. Still says, Simchas, ama Simchas ma'mer matu basafik, cholkin. So, Hocha de Lekadra moment, where in our case, as we keep on saying that Mi'ikala Meima Tavayahi, maybe indeed what happened is that they both picked up this animal. Loi Koshkein ought not to be the Alocha that they should be able to divide without a Shvua. And says the Gemara, I feel a tame as Sumchas. The Halocha is like Amish that could be finished like Sumchas. Shuzu Midrabonhi. The Shvu that our Mishnah instituted is only Shvu Midrabanan, as Rabbi Yochanan taught us. That Rabbi Yochanan, Shvu Zu Tekanas Chachamihi, this is a new Shvu that the Chachamim instituted, that we don't want that people should take somebody else's talis, Vaymashalihu. And the way to understand the Gemara is that, again, I know that this person didn't do anything to earn this talis, to buy this talis. He found the talis. And in such a case, since every one of us believes that I didn't do, takes the approach that I didn't do anything, he didn't do anything to get this talus. Since he didn't do anything to get this talus, so I deserve it as much as he deserves it. Why should he be the one to keep it? That's why people will rationalize and take the approach that they should keep the talus. Because that is the situation, that's why Rabbi Yochanan says there was a shvua instituted in our Mishnah. But that isn't the case where we have indeed an accident with the two animals and the baby. There, Simchas would say that they divided without a shvua. There's no room for rationalization.